Chapter 4. The day had been long, and as it had worn on, a feeling of unease had been building gradually in Applejack. Now, with the fading light, as she and Shining Armor made their way back towards the farmhouse, that feeling had grown uncomfortably. She had spent all day working with Twilight's brother, and working well, it had to be said. They had accomplished a great deal, and as the hours had passed, they had even begun to have fun. When Shining Armor had made the Scarecrow dance the Navigator, Applejack had laughed so hard she thought she was going to pass out. But all the while, in every job they did together, in the back of her mind, Applejack had always been searching for the complaints, the whines, the refusals to do certain tasks on the ground that they were beneath him. Anything she could add to the list. And the discomfort had grown. It had taken her a while to put a label on what she was doing, and when she found it, she wished she hadn't. Because what she was doing was dishonest. Having fun and laughing with some pony, especially a good pony, while secretly searching for ways to undermine them was the epitome of treachery and two-facedness, and as soon as she realized that, she wished she'd stopped. But she hadn't. She had to add things to the list. She had to prove Big McIntosh was a better brother. Didn't she? She tried to console herself that at least she had not been vindictive or spiteful. Every task they had done today was a task she would have done with her brother, were he here. Nothing added, nothing taken away. But that thought didn't make her feel any better. It was still dishonest. They reached the farmhouse, both of them quite exhausted after the day's intensive labor, and Applejack decided that was that. The day was over. Draw a line under it and add nothing more to the list. Try and settle her conscience. Supper was eaten in the same fashion as the previous night, though Shining Armor took a more active part in the conversation. Applebloom eagerly wanted to hear his stories, and he told them happily. Well, the less scary ones, thankfully. Then they had all settled into the living room, where they had continued their lively chatting until late into the evening. Applebloom and Granny Smith tottered up to bed first, though Shining Armor wasn't many minutes behind. That left Applejack alone with her thoughts. She was tired, but she knew she wouldn't sleep while her conscience weighed heavy. She removed her hat, the hidden pencil clattering to the floor somewhere, and extricated the parchment upon which were written all of Shining Armor's failings as a brother. It was, of course, blank. Shining Armor had done everything she'd asked of him with enthusiasm, spirit, and good humor. He hadn't been perfect, but where he'd made mistakes, he apologized, and where he lacked skill, memories of milking the cows brought an impromptu chuckle, he'd at least been willing. She looked at the blank paper on the floor before her, and felt a sudden weight lifted from her. The contest was over. Twilight would claim victory, and Applejack would accept it. And she realized she was okay with that. It didn't mean she loved her brother any less, after all. Big McIntosh was special. So what if no pony else realized it? The sounds of soft voices from upstairs brought her out of her thoughts and back to the present. It sounded like Shining Armor was talking to Applebloom in her room. When it continued for several minutes, curiosity got the best of her, and, leaving the parchment, she stood and carefully made her way up the stairs. She reached the landing, where a spear of light spilled from Applebloom's door, slightly ajar. From within, Shining Armor's voice could be heard as he spoke to the young filly. Well, speaking wasn't quite the right word, Applejack realized, now that she could hear him clearly. He was reading to her. A bedtime story. Unbelievable. He had put his back into it today so much so that by the time they'd reached the farmhouse, he'd looked ready to collapse. And yet, here he was, using some unknown reserve of strength to read her little sister a story before bed. Applejack pushed the door open and nosed into the room. Applebloom looked up, surprised, and so did Shining Armor, for that matter, but he quickly diverted his eyes back to the page and managed to keep his flow until the end of the paragraph, before pausing and looking up once more. Out of curiosity, she checked the title of the book. Daring Do and the Fate of Equestria. From the snippets she'd heard outside, it sounded like they'd reached the point where Daring Do had been captured and thrown into the salt mines by the evil king of Equestria, and was in the process of meeting the rightful princess or some such. No doubt there was about to be a tense, action-packed escape, followed by an eventual happy, moralizing ending. But not tonight. Time for bed, A.B. It's way past as it is, and y'all've got school tomorrow.
But sis, she pleaded, we're just about to get to the exciting minecart escape.
Shh, said Shining Armor in a stage whisper, glancing obviously furtively at Applejack.
You're not supposed to know about that yet.
Applebloom just giggled at him like a filly half her age. Then her attention was back with Applejack.
Please, at least let us get to the end of the chapter.
Shining Armor held up the book and flipped the next two pages over so Applejack could see just how soon that would be. She sighed.
Okay, that's just for tonight, you hear?
The statement was addressed to both of them, and they shared the same happy grin. Then Applejack turned and left the room, heading downstairs once more. She wouldn't deny it anymore. Shining Armor really was a good brother. One of the best. Coming to the front door, she stepped outside and gazed up at the sky. She had hoped to see the moon or stars, but she couldn't. All afternoon, the weather team had been working to cloud up the heavens in preparation for an overnight deluge, and the sky was overcast and uniform. With no light, it was like gazing up into a perfect void, and she found no solace there. The first white spots of rain chose that moment to fall, and Applejack stepped backwards inside before lying down again. She kept the door open, though, choosing to look out upon the peaceful farm as it rolled away into the inky black distance. A couple of minutes later, and to her surprise, she heard heavy hoofsteps descending the stairs behind her. She'd expected Shining Armor to head straight to bed.
Sorry, he said as he entered the lounge. She got me with those eyes of hers. I couldn't say no.
Applejack laughed. She knew exactly which expression he meant. Applebloom really could turn on the cute when she needed to.
Darren do, huh? Seems like that's all any pony's raiding these days.
Well, I brought her back for Twily, he explained. I used to read them to her when she was little, and this one was always one of her favorites. I think I might have accidentally got her hooked, he said with a chuckle.
Well, I reckon Darren's got herself a new fan now.
She looked back at Shining Armor.
Reckon you do, too. Family's taken real liking to you. You always be welcome round these parts, you hear?
She couldn't quite find the warm tone that sentiment deserved. Her conscience was still weighing heavy. He looked back bashfully. Then he noticed the parchment on the floor.
Hey, what's this?
It was a blank piece of paper. Applejack could have said it was anything. She could have said it was nothing. She could have told any lie she wanted and got away with it. So she told the truth.
It's a list. Of all the reasons you ain't as good a brother as Big Macintosh. I've been working on it all day.
She found she couldn't look at him any longer. Shame forced her eyes to the floor. Appearing confused, Shining Armor turned the paper this way and that, trying to figure out what the trick was.
Oh, I get it,
he said at last. Then he brought it over and lay down beside her, placing the paper in front of him.
You need some help filling it out.
He ignored the surprised look she gave him, and using his magic he found the discarded pencil and poised it over the parchment. Then he gazed out at the sky beyond the door, as though deep in thought.
Let's see. Has your brother ever been brainwashed by an evil queen? Or failed to stop an invasion of a city he was sworn to protect?
Huh?
No? Well, they both sound pretty bad, so we'll put those down.
He began scribbling with the pencil.
How about nearly losing an empire to an evil king made of shadow?
More scribbling.
Or maybe failing to notice that the pony he loved had been kidnapped and locked in a cave? Yeah, I'm pretty sure a good brother would realize that.
Those things weren't your fault.
Did he never make time to come and visit you when you moved away?
He said morosely, his attention still on the parchment.
Did your brother ever forget to tell you he was getting married? Or yell at you when you've tried to tell him something he's too blind to see for himself?
Shining!
Applejack snapped as she snatched the parchment away from him. He looked back at Applejack with a sad expression, before gazing once more out into the night. He sighed heavily.
I'm not the great brother she thinks I am.
Applejack looked back in sympathy. Then, softly, she said,
Yes, you are, Sugarcube. How many ponies can rule a kingdom one day, work a farm the next, and would still make the effort to read a filly a bedtime story? She smiled and looked back out to the night. You should hear the way Twilight talks about you. Far as she's concerned, you're the best thing since sliced bananas. Sang a song about you and everything. And you know what? It wasn't about the brother brave soldier, or her brother the noble prince, she said with a subtle shake of her head. It was about the brother she grew up with, who always made time for her, who she could tell any secret in the world to, and who she would always go to for help, because when she needed him, he was always there. She paused, noting Shining Armor's face seemed to be stuck in an expression of vague puzzlement, as though uncertain how to react. I ain't singing you the dang song, said Applejack with a mock scowl. Shining Armor tried not to laugh, tried to disguise the chuckle as a cough, but it was a woeful performance. Applejack's face softened again before she continued. My little sis thinks you're pretty special too, and I reckon so does Big Macintosh. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let you come here. She looked up at Armor again. Those three ponies right there are some of the best judges of character I know. You're saying they're all wrong? Shining Armor looked back into Applejack's eyes. She just smiled. Me? I've been trying all day to find a bad word to say about you. She used her hooves to scrunch up the parchment she'd held, and tossed it over her shoulder into the room somewhere. It was blank for a reason, you big galoot! Shining Armor tried not to smile. He tried desperately to hold onto some vestige of his manly despondency, tried to maintain his distant, sacrificial moodiness, but it was no good. That darned orange pony had made him feel better. The smile came, and the magical aura around the pencil he'd been using vanished. For the second time that day, Applejack realized she hadn't noticed it until it was already gone. Wait a second. She gave Shining Armor a quizzical look. Why the hell have you been making it so difficult for yourself?
What do you mean?
The look on his face told Applejack he knew exactly what she meant, but she pointed it out anyway. That thing! She pointed an accusatory hoof at Shining Armor's horn. That right there's strong enough to magic up a force field over a whole city, and it stopped me from getting squashed by a whole lot of heavy logs, which I'm still grateful for, by the way. So why didn't you use it to pick up those logs afterwards, or shift sacks of grain, or stack hay bales? You could have magicked away half the job we did today and given yourself an easy ride. Instead, you're exhausted. Why? She asked. You trying to impress me or something? It was meant as a joke, but the tiny flinch Shining Armor gave told Applejack that she was closer to the mark than she realized. She gave him a look that suggested he'd better start talking.
Well, it's more like I'm trying to repay you. I guess it wouldn't have felt much like a gesture if I'd made it easy for myself.
Repay me? Applejack was incredulous. And just what exactly does Prince Shining Armor think he owes a farm pony like me? Shining Armor looked once more out at the farm beyond the door. Rather than answer her question, he asked one.
You know what the most afraid I've ever been is?
Applejack shook her head. He'd had several recent experiences that would qualify, but trying to pick between them was a fool's errand.
It was the day Princess Celestia sent Twilight to live in Ponyville.
He found a spot on the floor in front of him and gazed balefully at it.
My little sister, moving away to a strange town full of strange ponies. Anything could have happened. What if they didn't like her? What if she didn't make any friends? I felt helpless. It was the first time I couldn't be there for her, and it scared me.
He looked back up, and when he did, there was a faint smile on his lips.
A few days later, I got a letter from her. I almost didn't open it because I knew what it would say. That she didn't like it. That none of the ponies would talk to her. That she was lonely and wanted to come home. I didn't think I could take it. But I forced myself to open it because if Twilight was in trouble, I needed to know. Then I read it. And instead, she starts writing about how, almost as soon as she's arrived, she'd met the warmest, friendliest pony who, without knowing anything about her, had invited her to stay. Introduced her to her family. And made her feel so welcome. She said her name was Applejack. She said she trusted her, and she hoped that she'd be friends with her forever. You have no idea how relieved I was to hear that.
There was a moment's pause while he met Applejack's gaze.
She never had a real friend before you. So, I guess I wanted to do something to say thank you. Thank you for making friends with my sister. Thank you for trusting her. Thank you for being there for her, and for keeping her safe. and thank you for making her happy.
Applejack scowled and glared back. By any normal measure, that was a compliment, yet she wore a dangerous expression.
Do you know why I'm friends with Twilight? She said deliberately.
Shining Armor shook his head slightly, worried. This was a reaction he had not expected.
I'm friends with Twilight because she's one of the smartest, kindest, most hard-working, and most caring ponies I've ever met. Because she's the kind of pony I want to be friends with. She saved me from losing my farm and my family, and there is nothing I wouldn't do for her if she asked. That's why I'm friends with her. Not for any other reason, and certainly not because I'm doing any pony a favor.
Her tone still suggested she was angry, but she'd actually cracked a grin now.
So y'all can thank me all you want, Your Majesty.
She gave Shining Armor a good-natured shove in the shoulder.
But if you're expecting a you're welcome, you can forget it.
They shared a laugh at that, and Shining Armor gave a respectful nod, followed by a well-intentioned,
fair enough.
A few quiet seconds passed. Then Applejack asked,
why couldn't you ever come to visit? It ain't that far to Canterlot.
Shining Armor sighed.
Time off, he said simply. It sounds dumb, but when you're a captain, you don't get much free time at all. When you're a prince, you get even less. And when you're a husband...
He laughed as though the very idea was ludicrous.
So, yeah, when you're all three at once, it's tough to get away for a second, let alone 3 days.
Applejack quirked an eyebrow.
How can you all be a guard captain and a prince at the same time? Didn't you have to give that up?
Shining Armor chuckled.
I tried. Celestia wouldn't accept my resignation. Said if she ever needed the guard for anything big, she wanted to count on me to lead them. Even after everything, she said she still trusted me. So yeah, it's kind of an honorary thing, but technically, I still...
Applejack was looking at him with a face covered in shock.
What? My pay goes to charity.
3 days?
Shining Armor just looked blank.
You'll get 3 days to come out to see your sister, and instead of spending time with her...
She trailed off. Then she stood up abruptly, and with an angry glare and a stamp of her hoof, she said,
Pack your things, mister. You're leaving. I want you off my farm right now.
It was Shining Armor's turn to look shocked.
I don't understand. Did I do something wrong?
Applejack's face softened.
Nope, but I did.
The rain had begun to fall steadily, though not yet heavily, and the constant white noise of raindrops falling onto the leaves filtered faintly into the library. Twilight and Big Macintosh sat comfortably opposite one another on warm, soft cushions, sharing a book, reading and exchanging thoughts and ideas quite happily. Ever since their conversation earlier in the day, Big Macintosh had opened up quite a bit. He wasn't shy anymore about expressing an opinion or a thought, and Twilight was eager to listen, because he had a lot of thoughts worth listening to. Yet somehow she knew that as soon as he left the library, the spell would be broken. He would return to the same stoic pony he ever was. So she needed to get as many of those thoughts out of him as she could while there was still time. Spike had returned too, and was pleased with the new vibe around the place, not to mention impressed with what appeared to him to be a totally refurbished library. He wasn't much for philosophy, though, so he was currently busying himself in the kitchen, whipping up a batch of his famous cookies. There was a sharp knock at the door, though Twilight didn't have time to make any move towards answering it before it opened, and in stepped a slightly bedraggled, but none the worse for wear, pair of ponies, whom she had been desperate to see all afternoon.
Twily!
Hey, big brother!
The stallion stepped into the library, shedding his saddlebags against the wall. Twilight rushed to meet him halfway, and they hugged tightly and happily. Then she noticed Applejack still stood in the doorway. Finally! She would get to tell her about her epiphany. She would get to tell her how she understood,
All right, Twi, I'm calling it. You win. You can call your big brother the best ever, and you'll get no argument from me. Don't get me wrong, Big Mac.
She looked past her at her own brother, who hadn't moved from where he lay.
You're still number one in my book. But it ain't fair to let this go on any longer. Applejack, Twilight tried. It doesn't matter anymore.
But Applejack wasn't listening and cut her off.
I brought your brother back, and it's about time y'all spent some real time together.
Once again, she looked past her to Big Macintosh, who was about to get on his hooves.
Don't you go getting up on my account. You look like you're having a good time, so just stay here as long as Twilight can stand the side of you.
She looked back at Twilight. I ain't gonna stay and make things awkward, so I'll leave you be."
Applejack tugged at the brim of her hat and turned. In the short time since she'd entered, the heavens had well and truly opened. Torrents of water bucketed down from the sky, making an almighty racket as they crashed into the leaves and ran off in streams. She made a face. The walk back home was going to be a lot less pleasant. Twilight watched in horror as Applejack walked out the front door and into the downpour.
"Wait!"
She galloped after her, and managed to catch her before she left the relative safety of the tree canopy.
"Applejack, where are you?"
But Applejack cut her off once again.
"I'm so sorry, Twi. I didn't mean to."
Her face was suddenly anguished, her voice almost broken, and Twilight couldn't tell if she was crying, or if it was just the spots of rain on her face.
"Your brother came to Ponyville so you could spend time together, and instead I took him away just so I could win the dumbest fight in the world. I hope you can forgive me someday, but right now you need to go and spend as much time with him as you can before he has to leave."
She made as if to turn, but Twilight caught her. Applejack wasn't being fair on herself. It wasn't as if she'd kidnapped him or anything. He'd gone quite willingly. It had, at least to an extent, been his idea. She wouldn't let her friend walk away and leave with such a guilty conscience, and besides, she had an apology of her own to make.
"Applejack, I'm sorry too. I don't know what got into us. We were spending so much time arguing over who had the best brother, and they've been trying to show us that it just doesn't matter. All that matters is that you and I are friends, and I don't ever want that to change."
Whether or not Applejack was crying, Twilight was certain that she was.
"Of course I forgive you, but the fight was as much my fault. If I hadn't tried to prove you were wrong, just so I could have my theory..."
With difficulty, she forced herself to look Applejack in the eyes.
"Please, forgive me, too?"
And suddenly, there was a feeling of mixed dread and anticipation. She had gone out on a limb. She had forgiven Applejack because, how could she not? But there was no guarantee that she would get forgiveness in return. What if Applejack was still angry? What if she said no, or said nothing and just left? What if this was the end of their friendship? She felt lightheaded and a little sick. She had no control. Everything rested in the reaction of a pony in front of her. The moment before Applejack replied seemed to stretch into eternity. But reply she did, with a hug and a whisper.
"Of course I do, Sugar Cube."
Twilight fiercely hugged her back. She cried into Applejack's neck, and in turn she felt her friend's chest spasm with quiet sobs. Slowly, the roiling ocean of dread and anxiety in Twilight's stomach settled into a beautifully calm, sunlit lake of elation and relief. There really was no other feeling like it. She was so happy. She had her friend back. Applejack released her and wiped something from her eye. A raindrop, probably. Then she nodded towards the library.
"Your brother's in there, waiting."
She turned once more to walk out into the torrent of water. Twilight had to catch her yet again.
"Applejack," she said with a smile, "a good friend once told me that you have the worst fights with the ponies that you care about the most."
She let the sentence hang and deliberately looked beyond her into the darkness, where the cacophonous rain made it difficult to see even the end of the street. Then back at Applejack. In a soft voice, she said,
"Don't go. Come inside where it's warm. Please?"
She grinned.
"Don't leave me here with three boys."
Applejack smiled at Twilight, not even trying to blink back the tears anymore. If the choice she was offering was getting drenched and cold or spending time with her friends and family, well, it wasn't really a choice after all, was it? She walked carefully inside as Twilight gently, magically closed the door behind them. Twilight felt such relief as Applejack walked inside with her. They settled themselves close together, like the friends they were, almost opposite the two brothers, who themselves had laid down side by side. She smiled as Applejack fixed Big Macintosh with a look.
"I hope you've been behaving yourself, mister." "Oh, he has,"
assured Twilight, launching the conversation. She told of stimulating philosophical debates,
meticulous home repairs generously undertaken, theories finally resolved, and the realization she'd had that the stalwart Crimson Pony was far more than the sum of his parts. Applejack then tried to one-up her with tales of dancing scarecrows, milking cows in exactly the wrong way, and acts of impromptu log-based heroism on Shining Armor's part, topped off with a touching recap of him reading to Applebloom as she fell asleep. As the two brothers listened to their sisters talk about their experiences, each gave the other increasingly respectful smiles and nods. If respect could be measured, it was tough to tell which of them received the most. Certainly, Shining Armor got a very healthy share for saving Applejack from being hurt, but Big Macintosh arguably got just as much for taking on Twilight in an intellectual debate and coming through unscathed. While their sisters were distracted extolling their respective virtues, Shining Armor surreptitiously slid a hoof along the floor towards Big Macintosh. Seeing the movement from the corner of his eye, Big Mac smiled and slowly did the same. Bump. Smile. Friends. Brothers.
So,
Shining Armor asked his counterpart in a conversational tone but conspiratorial expression.
Who do you think has the best sister ever?
Big Macintosh deliberately didn't reply, choosing instead to look at Twilight, even as she herself met Applejack's gaze.
I think I do, said Twilight.
A lot of smiles adorned a lot of faces, and warm feelings flooded the room. The fight that had begun as an argument over who could claim to have the closest-knit family had ended with the question itself becoming obsolete. Because, in the end, they were all family. There had been lots of crying, and they'd all grown closer together.